Hello, friends. You're listening to Conversations, brought to you from Silver Birch Ranch, a wonderful ministry here in the North Woods of Wisconsin. I'm Don Shire. I'm with Dave Wager. Dave is president of Silver Birch Ranch. Dave, how are you today?
Good. Good to be with you, Don.
Yes, it's always good to join our friends on Sunday afternoon, or if you're listening on the internet, whatever time you decide to listen. Thank you for joining us. Dave, we record these programs here in your studio at Silver Birch Ranch, and today it looks a little bit gloomy, and it kind of reminds me of how I felt when I came home from India not too many weeks ago and saw the atmosphere of our country. My goodness gracious, Dave, what did you do while I was gone?
You know, it reminds me of another time I was with you, actually in Africa.
Yes, Uganda.
When George Bush and Al Gore were going at it, and we were waiting for the results.
Yep.
And they never came. Then we got home. We thought, no kidding. They were still counting them. Never in my life had I seen an election where they were still counting votes.
And you thought never could it get worse, huh?
Oh, man. I thought, yeah, that I'm glad that chapter's over. And then we went through what we just went through.
Yeah.
You know, one of the oddest things for me is I honestly don't know who to believe, ever.
I know. You hear things on the news, and you can listen to a couple different stations and hear completely different viewpoints, different outlooks on what there's both covering the same story, but with completely different.
Absolutely. Themes. And, you know, our listeners and people just need to be very careful, because we need to realize that we basically believe what we want to believe. That's what we do.
Yeah.
And belief doesn't equal truth.
Well, you know, that's a very good point. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
Just because you believe strongly about something doesn't mean it's right.
That's right. There are some issues that are true, but those issues need to go to the Bible and be sorted out.
Yeah.
And there's very few
of
them, by the way.
Well, that's why it's so important that we have an absolute.
Absolutely.
We can always go to Scripture and come up with what we need for a foundation to build on.
Yeah, here's what was really weirding me out. If I could get weirded out, it was by, you know, both of the candidates talking about how evil the other one was, with no absolutes in place.
Yep.
I mean, that's a moving statement all the time. It's like, you know, is this worse than that? Is this worse than that? And through all of the campaigning, I still didn't know where any of them stood on anything.
Yeah.
I just knew they didn't like each other.
Yeah, it's very sad. You know, Dave, when I got back from India, people were out in the streets protesting the results of the election and so forth. I wanted to gather them all up and take them back to India with me and to really experience how most of the rest of the world lives, and then come back and to see what they're complaining about. You know, Dave, when I was in India, we woke up one morning and the government had completely devalued the 500 rupee note.
I know you were there.
And
when
the 1,000 rupee note. It's the equivalent, Dave, of taking the two highest currencies, like here, it would be the $50 bill and the $100 bill, waking up tomorrow and finding out they no longer exist.
Wow.
But here's what happened, is that the people were given 2 days to take the bills that they had, and or the currency that they had, and deposit that in their bank account. Well, what the government was waiting for was to find out all those people that have sold property on a cash basis and weren't paying taxes on it. And the government printed a new currency that people can now start to use, but the old ones are all obsolete.
Oh.
Dave, there were people out in the street burning their boxes of money that they had in their homes. There at the banks, there were 300-plus people in line just for us to be able to draw some 100 note rupee notes and 10s and 50s. It took about 3.5 hours for our pastor friend to stand in line and go in and get the currency we would need for some of our trip.
Wow.
And I get home and people are complaining about so much. I'm thinking, you need to travel. You need to get out and experience how the rest of the world is living. And then you come back and you say, God bless America.
Yeah. You know what? I think so often I just have this roll off my tongue. I talk to people and say, that's such a first world problem. It's just it's not really a problem. It is because you're so used to comfort and luxury.
Mm-hmm.
It is because you're used to having everything revolve around you and making sure that everything about your life is like in the spotlight. So you're so used to it that it's a first world problem. For example, you know, you remember when we were in Africa, the roads were not in good shape.
That's for sure.
When I got back to Wisconsin, I was looking at how many roads were paved past farms that, like, there was one farm down the road and it was, miles of pavement.
Yeah.
And I often think of how, I hear how bad our roads are, and I hear how bad our bridges are, and I hear how bad, and I'm thinking, we got bridges and roads.
You need to travel.
whoever's talking like that needs to get out more. Yes. I mean, they just need to get out more. It's like, this is such a first world problem. I had the news on the other night, and there was a young guy, probably 18 years old, and he was talking about how awful it is to have to wait in airports. I'm thinking,
well, no one likes it.
No one likes it, but I'm telling you, you're waiting in an airport. You had the resources to get on an airplane and go visit grandma or whatever you're doing.
Right.
And they probably sent you the money for it. And poor you, you have to stand there and eat expensive airport food while you wait for the plane. I mean, honestly, how bad is this? I think sometimes, if you have some kind of perspective at all, I wonder if the angels just shake their head at us. Like, what a bunch of goofballs. It's first world stuff that starts to bother us more than real stuff.
Yeah. Well, how do we think about that and apply it to how we live?
Well, I think, first of all, what we have to do is evaluate why we have the resources we do. So we might ask ourselves, why do I have resources? And let's go to the Bible and take a look at why a person is granted both talents or resources. Why do they have them? I can promise you this, that we don't have them so that we could be self-indulgent. That's not why God gave them to us. Now, here's what he does, though. He does want his people to have a promised land, to enjoy the land, to enjoy the fruit of the land. I mean, that's if you think God doesn't want you to enjoy his gifts, you're wrong. He does. But he doesn't want you to be self-indulgent with them. In other words, I don't have enough food in my family so that I could hoard it for my family. I have enough food so that I can sustain life and I can share it with those who have less. I mean, that's why I have it. I think a first world mentality starts to creep in where everything's about us so much that we just keep gaining and it's always about us. And even if we give a gift, it's about how someone says thank you.
I think you're onto something there. I would tell you a little story. Last night, I was on my way home from a concert down in southern Wisconsin. And I stopped in Antigo. I had a tire that needed a little bit of air. And it was cold, and I was at one of the gas stations right there, and it was a real slow air compressor.
I've been to that one.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was an elderly man that kind of shuffled across the parking lot to come and talk to. I could tell he had something he wanted to tell me. He says, if you really want to get good air pressure, you need to go down to the Shell station down the road here. They have a really good pump there. And they've... That meant a lot to me.
Yep.
That guy took the time to shuffle across the parking lot.
Yep.
and just to tell me, give me a little bit of information. And I thought, now there's a guy that I want to see again.
Yep.
And I took that as something that, that's what I want to be like. I want to be the helper. I want to be someone that can go out and help people, give them little words of advice. Yep. And, if we all did that,
right?
Just think of how much
you're
nicer.
You're just looking out for somebody
else.
Yeah. And first world country people tend to look out for me first.
Yeah. Yeah, this guy could have just said, it's cold. I'm not going to go tell that guy this. But
and
he did.
And I have information, but that's for me. And I that's not how we do it. Or resources, and that's for me. I tell you, we might be surprised. I don't know. I've wondered this, and maybe we can keep talking about it. I wonder, as God looks at us and one day when we stand before him, will he actually talk to us and judge us in light of our culture or in light of just reality in general? In other words, the people in Africa, will they get judged on the same things that we in America would get judged on? And how does that look different in a different culture, in a different world? In other words, this first world that we live in a third world country. But I don't know, Don. It'll be interesting. We'll have to keep talking about it because it's just one of those topics that I think Americans need to be aware of. We live in a first world country. We have to whom much is given, much is required.
Yeah.
We should probably think about what that means.
Yeah, and that little example I gave about a good, kind word to a friend this week, that'll make a big difference. Thank you for listening, friends. You've been listening to a program we call Conversations. And I'm Don Shire. I've been with Dave Wager. Dave is president of Silver Birch Ranch, located in White Lake, Wisconsin. If you'd like to know more about the ministry here, go to silverbirchranch.org on the internet. That's silverbirchranch.org. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.